Thank you. You may be seated. Graduates, I want you to know this morning that your family is a key reason why you're here. Your family is a key reason why you are in this place and walking the walk that you walk this morning. And so we want to say a very special welcome to them. And before I continue, I want to say a very special welcome again to the class of 2012. You made it. Yeah. You made it. Now, during our time this morning, I have but one goal. Now, if you're taking notes this morning, this is going to be a vital piece of information. So you want to get your pens out, get your notes ready. Here we go. So here it is. The number one goal that I have this morning is to give the graduates the worst advice I can. Okay? I'm going to give you the most terrible advice you've ever heard. And I'm going to use three different stories to do it. And I want to shape for you a miserable picture of your future, so that you can move into a future being timid, lost, and manipulated. Sounds like a great plan, doesn't it? Now I know what you're thinking. He's gone rogue! Somebody's looking back at the sound booth. Got him! Got him! So let's get started. I'm going there. Y'all are in for a treat. So a man goes camping. He hasn't been camping in a long time. And he thinks to himself, I've got to go and I've got to be prepared to go and be and get ready to camp. So he goes to REI and he picks up all the latest equipment. He spends thousands of dollars on camping equipment. And he arrives on his site and he starts to set up his brand new tent. He sets up his little Coleman portable stove. He's so excited. He even has a portable picnic table. It's just him. But he had to bring a portable picnic table because that's what you do when you go camping, right? So he has a portable picnic table. He has a fancy sleeping bag that he can't wait to sleep in. And, you know, he has this water purifier that he'll never use. But he brought it with him. So he has it. Sounds neat. And he even got an outdoorsman shaving kit. Right? Hey, you never know who you're going to meet in the woods. And you never know, they might need a shaving kit too. Ooh, whoa. So the man woke in the morning only to find that there was smoke and fire billowing all around him. And so what does he do? Well, he does what any normal person would do. He starts packing up all of his stuff. But he spends a little extra time packing it up as the fire gets a little more outrageous. And he's really concerned about his stuff. He doesn't want to let it go up in the fire. So he just keeps packing it up. And he keeps on taking more time. Well, panicking, he started to realize that the fire had jumped the river behind him. And now he was completely surrounded. So he starts walking the only direction that he felt was going to be safe for him. And realizes that he comes to this edge of this cliff. And it's a far distance down, but he thinks to himself, it's the only way out. So he ties the rope around a rock at the top of the cliff, and he turns around, and he starts to rappel down the cliff. Now, he still has all of his stuff, because he doesn't want to let the stuff go. You know, I mean, who wants to waste all that stuff? So now, he's smoke all around him. He couldn't see the ground. There he hangs. He hangs there. His hands are ripping. His muscles are getting tense. He can't hold on to his stuff anymore and keep himself on the rope. And then on top of all of that, he literally gets to the end of his rope. He has no more rope left. He didn't buy enough. And so now he's hanging there with all of his stuff. Ferdinand Magellan was a Spanish explorer who was credited with being the first man to set sail around the world. Now, this wasn't an easy feat in the early 1500s, especially considering that many people still believe that the world was flat. And so they thought it was a suicide mission, that there's no way you're going to be able to get over there. But the Spanish king commissioned Magellan to go out and to find the East Indies. And they also were known as the Spice Islands. That's what they were looking for. So Magellan sets out, and he crosses the Atlantic, and he runs into South America. Now, being very determined, Magellan and his 225-man crew, they start sailing south. They keep the land on their right as they go down, believing that there was a waterway that was going to lead them to the Spice Islands. Well, he eventually did find the mouth of the waterway, which actually bears his name even to this day. And for 38 days, he endured ice-cold water and less than desirable conditions. But on the 39th day, Magellan made it through the waterway. And he made it through onto the other side of South America. Well, if you know your geography, you know what Magellan was met with. The Pacific Ocean. The Pacific Ocean was larger, much larger than Magellan had anticipated. His four ships had to sail for 98 days before they reached Guam. In these 98 days, their food provisions ran completely out. It caused the crew to actually suffer from scurvy, which my mom told me if I didn't eat my vegetables, I was going to get scurvy. I really didn't know that until like I was in college and I said, wow, thank goodness I never got scurvy. And my friends were like, what's wrong with you? It's an ancient pirate disease. But they got scurvy. They got scurvy because due to the lack of fruit. They actually were relegated to eating leather hides, rope, and rats that were found on board. All my kids say, ew. Or not. So many died on the way to when they got to the Philippines. And they actually had to stay there longer in order to recuperate all of the loss that they had experienced. Now, story number three, I actually need a little help with. This story, and actually I'm going to turn it over to my friends at Pixar to be able to tell this one because they can tell stories a whole lot better than I can. So let's learn from Pixar this morning. So three stories, three different thoughts, but what does it mean? Well, you didn't come to church this morning to hear two stories and watch a cartoon and think to yourself, okay, Pastor, where are you going with this? But it's time to come clean. You see, the worst advice that I'm going to give you this morning isn't going to come from me. It's going to come from the world. You see, I didn't finish making my points to why I told these three stories. And if you remember, where did we leave off our camper from the story? Where was he? He was hanging off of a cliff. He was at the end of his rope. So there's smoke all around him. He can't see the ground and he's hanging for dear life. His hands are ripping, his muscles are aching, and he can't hold himself up plus his stuff anymore. He's at the end of his rope. He has nowhere else to go. Drop your stuff. Wait, what? Drop my stuff? What are you talking about? Who is that? Let go of your stuff. Okay, but are you going to catch it? Yeah, I'll catch it. Just let it go. So the camper slips off his stuff that he has, his backpack, and he drops it down. Did you catch it? Yeah, I caught it. Yeah, everything's fine. Okay, so now what now? What do I do now? Let go. Wait. You want me to let go? I can't see the ground. You realize this, right? How far down are you? Yeah. I know you can't see me, but I can see you. You need to let go. 1 John 2, verses 3, 5, and 6. We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. But if anyone obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. You see, the world is going to tell you to become a consumer. The world is going to communicate a message to you that says to squeeze as much as you can out of this world and to use people as a commodity in order for you to receive gain. This is the message that the world communicates. And then when you get to the end of your rope, the world is going to say, just hold on. Now, I've preached a dozen of hold on messages. In fact, this morning was going to be a hold on message. And I started to realize as I get older, I start to realize that God doesn't want us to hold on with our strength. He wants us to let go with His. He doesn't call us. He doesn't want us to hold on with our strength. He wants us to let go. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. He has promised in His Word that He will supply power and endurance for life. Colossians 1:11-14, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Lord, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. For He rescues us. He will not delay. He will rescue us. I want to live like that. I don't know about you, but I want to live like that. I want to live in a sense of an abandonment, realizing and recognizing that the strength, the power, and the endurance that I have to make it through the next day doesn't come from me, and I don't hold on by my strength, but I let go and rely on His strength. I want to live like that. Have you ever thought to yourself, what would happen if Magellan had a map? What if Magellan had a map? Because you realize Magellan, he didn't have a map. The only course that he was charting was the one that was behind him. He was keeping record of what they were experiencing, but he did not have a map that was going to tell him what the whole picture looked like. That's why it's called an adventure. It's called a journey. You see, the world is going to tell you that it has the roadmap to success. At times, the world is going to promise you that it knows your future, and that it knows which way or where you're going. And when those times happen, I want you to remember this promise from God's Word. 1 Corinthians 2:9. However, as it is written. Now I want you to repeat this with me. No eye has seen. You say it now. No eye has seen. No ear has heard. No mind has conceived. What God has prepared for those who love Him. Folks, this is a promise. This is a promise. If Magellan had a map, if he was able to see how large the ocean was in front of him, he would have never have crossed it. He would have never have crossed it. He would have been paralyzed by fear. He would have been paralyzed by the unknown. And I think for a lot of us this morning, we have to recognize that there is a reason why God doesn't give us the whole map. Because we too, if we were to see the whole map, yes, there's going to be highs, but there's also going to be lows. And it's that big picture, if we were to see that, it would be paralyzing. It would cripple us. Just like Magellan would have been crippled if he realized that once he made it around South America, he still had 98 more days of sailing. But here's the thing, although there was great hardship in what Magellan experienced crossing the Pacific Ocean, he made it. He made it. And even though there's great hardship sometimes in the decisions, in the life, in the what happens to you, you can make it. God doesn't give us this big, huge map to show us what's everything going on. In fact, I would probably say that what God does give us is probably like a AAA triptych. Right? Do you guys remember triptychs? They're kind of ancient now. You can still get them. You call AAA. Can I get a triptych? Oh, okay. Do you have the intranet? But you can still get these. And they are flip by flip directions. It gives you a small piece of the big journey. And you know what? I'm going to suggest this morning that we don't sail with a large map. I'm going to suggest that we act like Magellan and we use a compass. Magellan had a compass. Magellan's compass was able to constantly point him towards the direction that he knew he needed to go. Well, guess what? God has a compass for us this morning. It's called His Word. It's called His Word. His Word for us is like a compass that's going to always point towards true north. And you can always find your way if you're using the compass. Do you hear what I'm telling you this morning, especially graduates? If you want to know where you're going, you got to use the compass. Psalm 25, verses 3a-5. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are my Savior. My hope is in you all day long. I'm actually going to jump back here. Psalm 119, verses 105. I quoted it this morning in my prayer. It says that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you. Many of us are familiar with this passage. Behold, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. It says right here that God has plans for us, and they are plans to prosper us, but they are also plans to give us hope and a future. If you ever want to know what God's will is, if you ever want to know and experience God's will or His desire, you have to look no further than right here. His plans for us, to prosper us. I want to live like that. I want to live in such a way that I give God the opportunity to implement His plans on my future. Now, I have to admit to you this morning, the third story is actually my favorite. I could literally preach a whole sermon on the short film, but I won't. Like the little birds on the wire, the world is going to tell you that you need to conform to them. The world is going to tell you that you need to act like, look like, be like them. And you're going to have to do that in order to get ahead in the world. Because if you notice, the larger bird was all out of sorts. He didn't look like the rest of them. He didn't act like the rest of them. And there was a lot of this murmuring, this talking, the world. Lee birds were there, and they were trying to really kind of take down this bird that didn't fit in. And that's what the world's going to do. It's going to tell you at times in your life, if you're following hard after Christ, the world is going to look at you and it's going to say, you are not the same as everyone else. And so you need to be pushed to the margins. And I'm telling you right now that you have a God in heaven who is supplying with you with power and strength to be able to push through those moments in life. And you are going to have to look at the world at times and be able to say to them, I don't care what you think. Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You see, the world tells us to conform, but God tells us to be transformed. Do you see the difference? The world tells us to conform, but God's word tells us, and God tells us to be transformed. Now, here's the cool part. If you're renewing your mind and if you are being transformed, guess what? You can test God's will. And like I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of people that say, I wish I just knew what God's will was for my life. If we look in the scripture, we understand that when we're talking about God's will, we're talking about His desire, right? So if we're talking about His desire, then we're actually talking about, God, I wish I knew what your desire was for my life. We know what His desire is for our life. It's plans to give us hope and a future. It's plans to allow us for Him to transform us, to call us away from the world that is so easily conforming us. The word transformed here in the scripture is actually where we get the Greek word metamorpho. Everyone say metamorpho. It's where we get our English word, you guessed it, metamorphosis. It's where we get the Greek word metamorphosis, meaning to completely change. So just like a caterpillar becomes a butterfly, that is a metamorphosis that happens. But if you think about it, the caterpillar is never the same again. When it goes into that cocoon process, it comes out, it is metamorphosed, right? It is transformed, and when it comes out, I mean, could you imagine the caterpillar in that moment when it comes out of the cocoon? I've got wings! Right? Holy smokes! I mean, the reason why butterflies flutter around is because they're just showing off to all their friends what they've got. Have you seen these? I was seriously just asleep for a little bit and I came out with these! Think about that with your life in Christ. Does He not want to give you wings and have you soar like eagles? Do you not, shouldn't we be fluttering around showing other people? Have you seen what God's done for me? Look at this! God is awesome! I was seriously asleep for years of my life, but now, look at me! It's not about you, it's about relying on God to be in you. I want you to read Romans 12, 1 and 2, but I'm going to read it to you from the message. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, your ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. I want to live like that. I want to live like that. And as the band comes to prepare, I just want to share a few short words with you. I want to place my life before God as an offering, like the Scripture says. Jeff, go ahead and keep that Scripture up, because I want that to resonate with you. Look at how many points in there. There are opportunities for us to become just sold out for God. To allow God, to show God that this is my life, an offering for you. I want to fix my full attention on God and be changed from the inside out. I want to experience the moments in life where I get to brag on God. I love the fact that a week ago I was able to stand before you and tell you that we sold our house in a market that is just awful. And I promised God that I would brag on Him. Because it's only God that happened. So now at the end of June, we're going to be able to move. Guess what? That's my butterfly moment. That's my moment that I get to go, did you see this? Look at this. And be just so excited, not because it's me, because it's God. I want to offer my life as a sacrifice. I want to call out on God and say, transform me from the inside out. Here is my life, Lord. I give it to you as an offering. I want to live like that. I want to allow God to bring out the best in me. I want to live like that. Would you stand as we receive these final words? Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents, mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with Him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of Himself to us. Love like that. I want to live like that. I want to give it all that I have. And I pray this morning that you would do the same. This morning when we're asking parents to make sure you kind of have hold of your children as we move into family stuff. And we want to make sure that everybody has a chance to go through the line, an opportunity to eat and get a plate. So just wanted to make that little kind of public service announcement to you. Let us go now. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.